I'm going a little different direction this morning. I said I might finish what I started last week, but I'm not. Okay, I'll preach that one too, along with the other one I've already have. But God says, don't do that. God says, I got a change for you. I have said, you know when he says that? What did I tell you yesterday, Tracy, that it never happens the way that I think it's going to happen? You can do it all day long, prepare, and it doesn't work that way. And so this morning, and did it happen at 5? No, it didn't happen at 5, even though I was up trying to get it to happen at 5. God said, oh, let me wait a little bit. Oh, did it happen at 6? No, it didn't happen at 6 either. Oh, did it happen at 7? And I'm going, Lord, time's getting away from me here. Come on, you got to come through. And he's going, I'll tell you what I got for you when you're there. You may not think that's a big deal. That's a big deal to preachers. You know, we prepare our hearts and our lives for this very moment. I don't want to come up here and give you bologna sandwiches, and because I kind of like bologna sandwiches. But I'm certainly not going to give you liver and beets. You know me. I'm not going to do that. Okay. But what I am going to say to you this morning is found in the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 18, there's a story there about a young man that comes to Jesus, all excited. He wants to serve him. He wants to do all of these things. We know that story as the rich young ruler, as the title. And we also probably know from those of us that are experienced in the Word of God that he comes with all this excitement, but then it's like Jesus throws water on him and he just takes him right down. And that's not like Jesus. He's the most encouraging, loving person that wants everybody to grow and to be godly and do all these things. But he makes a statement to him because he replies to a very question that is given unto him. And the reply is, what must I do? And he says, you lack one thing. Wouldn't it be terrible to stand before a holy God one day when you don't have this opportunity like we have this morning? And he says, you lack one thing. That'd be a terrible thing. I don't want to stand before him. He says, oh, you lack. Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast. When you got a lot of money, that's a tough thing. When you have a lot of possessions, it's a tough thing. But Jesus knew exactly the very button to push because he knows everything. It wasn't about his money. It was about what was reigning in his heart. So today, it's not about what you have. It's about what reigns in your heart. And so the question for you this morning is this: is it God's will or is it my will? Is it God's will or is it my will? You know, that's the beauty of what God did for us. He gave us a will. He left it to us as part of humanity. It's what it is. One of my favorite authors, and y'all know me, I like Max Lucado a lot, but this is a man that takes you deep every time. And I've been reading this for, 50-some years now, when I was first introduced to Oswald Chambers. Oswald Chambers asked a question. He says, have you ever heard the Lord say a hard word? You ever faced that one? I don't know. Did anybody read My Utmost for His Highest? This statement he made, and it's been echoing through my brain for years and years and years. It says, have you ever heard the Lord say a hard word? And then he finishes that. He says, if you haven't heard it, then I question whether you have heard anything. You got that? If you haven't heard God make a hard word or say a hard thing to you, then you probably haven't heard anything that he said. This young man came to Jesus wanting to serve him, wanting to go, wanting to be a follower. But Jesus had a hard word for him to test his will. As God tests our will every single day, Are you willing to do what I've called you to do? Are you willing to get over who you are and let me be who you should be? Because I want to live in somebody that's going to do what I said. But that's a shortcoming. A shortcoming that not only was the life of this man, this young man, but it's been my shortcoming. Been my shortcoming many times. Is it God's will or is it Jim's will? How many times have I answered a question before I understood even the question that was posed to me? How many times have I didn't understand the message, but yet I had the answer that they wanted? How many times did my opinion come forward before God's word came forward? You know, a lot of times we didn't search that out first. Well, I just trust God's His intelligence that He gave me. Wrong answer, people. If it's not godly intelligence, you haven't got much going for you. You can have all the book knowledge you want. You can be the most highly educated person. You can tell me all the facts there is to know about this, but your opinion is no better than anybody else's opinion. Or you may think it's better than that, but I need to know, are you influenced by the principles of God, or are you influenced by the principles that man has given you? Unfortunately, today, I think in education, and I don't think I'm off on this either, that man is becoming such a strong influence, and God's not that strong of influence anymore. What's being taught to our children? Well, that's why we have churches. We have to counterbalance what's being said to them in our church and our schools today. Because what's being said to them in schools are anything but what I think the Word of God says. That's why He says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when they're old, they're not going to depart. Will they wander off? Yeah, they'll wander off. Sure they will. We've seen it over and over and over again. But when it comes right down to the knowledge that a parent pours into a child, they're going to have an understanding that one day they're still going to know Jesus loves them. One day they're going to call back and say, can I get there? What can I do to find him again? In John's gospel in the second chapter, he makes a statement down at the 23rd verse. It's a simple thing. It's something that, why did the people follow after Jesus? Well, one thing, he fed them. The other thing he did was miracles. And this is the point. It's John chapter 2, beginning verse 23, it says, and now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast days, many believed in his name. When, get this part, when they saw the miracles which he did. I've never seen the miracle that Jesus did. I wasn't there. They believed because they saw miracles. They saw a sign that he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men and need not that any should testify of a man, for he knew what was in man. You say, well, where is that going? It's going here. Do you follow Jesus because of somebody else? You follow Jesus because there's a great preacher on TV, and that's great. There's a lot of great preachers on TV. Do you follow after them, or do you follow after the God they say they serve? You know, Jesus put God always first. The Father was always first. It wasn't about who he was. It was about who he was. He put his trust in God all the time. There was never a time that he did not do that. And because of God's grace, he allows that in our lives. That's how he teaches us how he does things in our lives. But he also said, I don't trust in a man. I trust in the Father. People, you can't trust in a man. I love you. I want to tell you the best things I can tell you. I want to do everything I can to prepare to give you the Word of God properly. But it's not about me. It's about him. What does the Holy Spirit say? If it didn't apply to your heart, then let it go. It's not worth knowing if you didn't get that. My trust is not going to ever be in a man first. It's going to be in Jesus Christ. Because man can't give me what I need. Man will never provide for these two little boys what they need. Oh, parents will do great for them. But Christ is the only one that's going to provide what they really need. That's why you can never trust anything but the grace of God. His knowledge, what he's going to do. You always trust him, not yourself or anybody else. It has to come from him. And when it comes from him, it's perfect. You may not understand it, but God said, I can explain it. You say, well, I don't know about that. Well, think about Jesus then. We're in the garden. We're in the garden of Gethsemane. The fear and the anguish that must be going through his heart and his mind. Oh, no, that never happened. Yes, it did. Yes, it did. It happened that very way. If it did not happen, why would he ever pray, Father, if this cup can pass from me, please let it be so. But not my will be done, but your will be done. You see, Jesus himself as a man went through the very anguish knowing he's facing the cross. We have to go through the same anguish of facing hard things in our lives. When God brings a hard word to us, we need to face that. But we can face it in his grace. But you have to say, as Jesus said, not my will. As much as I want to do just me, I want to make everything happy for me, but your will. And who did he go to? That's another thing. Think, you know, who do we run to? Now, God has given you a pastor. He's given you godly friends that you can go and get information from. But you make a major mistake if you didn't go to Jesus first. If you don't go seek out the words of Christ and the knowledge of the Holy Spirit, you've missed it. Man has a lot of wonderful things, and maybe their experience is great, and it is, because they listen to Christ, and they can give you a good experience. But unless we go to Christ first, we're just getting a man's opinion about what Jesus said. That's why you're blessed. I'm blessed to have the Holy Spirit who lives within to guide our lives. And that's where I can say, not my will be done. Not what I think. That's not important. You know, Jesus could have gone to Mary and shared the burden of his heart. He could have. He could have gone to his disciples. They were right there. He could have called us, let's have a prayer meeting. Yeah, anybody in a prayer meeting like that before? I've been in a couple like that. They tell you everything and spill it all out there, and as one preacher I know says, he puked on you, and sorry, preachers are preachers. Everything that I'm saying is appropriate, but the only thing that works is Christ. So where was the priority that Jesus had? It was in the Father. But where's our priority? We have a tendency to go to everybody and listen to them first before we go and listen to the one we need to. You get the self-help gurus. You get a friend, and they're all wonderful. You may need that. But how about Jesus? How about listening to him? How about taking his word right here and listen to what does the word of God say? I remember the great times of Doc Spock. Now, I'm not talking about live long and prosper either, okay? I'm talking about that other clown that said that he was a child. He knew how to educate a child and how you bring one up. And we know what took that place there. And some of us are living examples of what took place there. Because it wasn't the word. It was a man's opinion that was, obviously, look what's happened to our country. And it has a great impact on that. What did we raise? We raised some hellions that did what they wanted to do. Oh, if you didn't know, you that are here for the very first time, I'm blunt. I'm just going to say it because it's what it is. We did things that people tell. They said, this is what it should be. But that's not what God's Word says. That's not what His Holy Spirit is saying. And His Holy Spirit, He's in you. You've got the resource within you that will guide your life. What a blessing. It's right there. You know, do I read a lot? Yeah, I read a lot. And I love it. And I listen to great people of God and do all those things. But when it comes right up, right down to it, got to listen to God. Got to listen to what He says. That, because the Spirit brings that to me, right to me, personally. As He does to each one of us if we just listen to Him. Let Him speak to our hearts. Let Him do that. What did Jesus say to us? He poured it all the way through and He put it into His little brother's heart to say this to us. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. He didn't say whatever last book you read about this over here or this over there. He wasn't trying to develop a Christian church or Christianity in a whole outside of one thing. It's not based on your temperaments. Because some of you got a sweet disposition. Some of it stinks. Some of us are straightforward. And we should be more compassionate. That's why we have wives. You want compassion, go talk to her. Okay. But I can tell you, I can say this to you. God didn't develop who He is in you on your temperament. Because He'll take your temperament and He will bring it to where He wants it to be. If you just let Him. If you say, not my will be done. Do you have any impulsive people here today? Impulsives? Yeah. We get things done, don't we? I mean, we go get it done. I mean, now we got to make it happen. But what does it happen to us? We become a Simon Peter before God really got him, before God really got a hold of him. Do you know what impulsiveness does for me, though? It has done for me many times. It stifled me when it came down to developing the life that Christ wanted to give me. I always had the answer before I knew the question. The message was coming, but I'm ahead of the message. I want to give you the answer before I ever knew what He was talking about. Because I wasn't submitted to His will. I had my own will. Some of you are great. You do exceptional things for God. The only problem is you define what exceptional is. You understand that? What you think is exceptional to God, God may say, that's not exceptional at all. That's ordinary man doing what He says is exceptional. What does God say is exceptional? An everyday walk with me. In the most common, ordinary parts of your life, you walk with me. You listen to me. You follow me. I love it when people get up and they do big things and they do wonderful things for the church. They do great things in their community. They do all those things. But the most exceptional things is what you do in the ordinary things, the everyday things, that people can see Christ in you, in the ordinary. We all rise to the occasions. Most all of us do. You know, we don't get bummed out over that kind of thing. But if God's really filled us, we just live it in the ordinary. Yeah, we live it in the common. We walk it every single day, so there's no discretions about that. So I'm asking you, is it God's will or is it my will? Am I doing what God told me to do, or am I doing what I want to do? Yeah, but it makes sense. Well, is it God's sense or is it man's sense? Or am I willing to let God do something that He wants to do every day? And that is simply this. Make you as great as the atonement that He put in you. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to surrender? It's a little term that you know, I don't really understand it in a marriage. I'm diverting. In a marriage ceremony, Husbands, love your wives. Wives, do what? Obey your husband. It's that term is called obey. Don't do that anymore. Don't say that kind of stuff. If you loved your wife the way that God wants you to love your wife, it wouldn't be a problem, would it? The only problem is men don't usually do that all the time. They want to lord it over women. They want to, you know, beat them down into submissiveness. I thought God did that kind of stuff. And it's a joy when he does. The word is obedience. An everyday walk with Christ in that I am obedient. I'm obedient to him. I do what he wants me to do. The Bible's clear on that. It talks about relationships. It talks about obedience in a relationship. You know, it's not about equals. It's about knowing Christ and loving him so much and obedient to him that you don't even know that you're obedient to him. You just willingly do it every day. You don't have to think about it. Have you ever been to... How many Marines I got here? Any Marines in the group? Okay. You're that served, Navy, Army. Wasn't there some big dog in front of you that said, do it and do it now? And what did you do? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it right now. We obey what a man says. And God is going, he didn't say it, he didn't shout at us, he didn't command us, he didn't do any of those kind of things. But when he says it, do we do it? Do we obey because we know to obey? Because we love him, we simply do what he says. That's what parents can be. They can be so loving to a child. You don't have to yell. You just say it, they do it. Now, I know my kids were like me. Lord have mercy. Thank God they turned out better. Okay, but this one's going to say it 4 or 5 times. Dad's going to say it once. And that's just the way it's going to be. It's my personality. But I only give you a one-time deal. You know, it's going to be this or. You never wanted to find out what the or was. You just didn't want to know what that was. Why can't we serve God the way he wants us to serve him without threats, without anything? Because we just love him. If God said, okay, I want you to do this, do we do that? Is it my will or is it his will? Am I doing what he said to do or am I doing what I want to do and pray it's God's will? My grandfather used to talk about a lady in his church that he said, and his prayer was, Lord, I pray it's your will because she's going to do it anyway. I prayed that over many of you. I've had to pray it over myself all the time. What did Paul say in the Philippians? He said, work out your own salvation. Well, work it out in fear and trembling. That you're doing the will of God. Does your will agree with God's will? It should be the other way around. You should be paying attention to God's will and lining yourself up with that will only. Did God give me a free will? Yes, he did. He didn't base it on my temperament, didn't base it on my disposition. He didn't base it upon my hereditary stance. He didn't base it on anything else but the fact that he said, I want you to be like me. In spite of how you were raised, in spite of where you live, in spite of your circumstances, I want you to be like me. And that's why when the Lord says, I got you. I love you. In spite of some of the things that we do, I still love you. Please know that today, that God loves every one of us, that he longs to conform us into his image. That's what he wants to do. He wants to conform us to... A very wise man made this very point. He said that we were, as by nature, by creation, we were God's children. Okay? You were a child of God. but only by the blood of Jesus Christ did you become sons and daughters of God. That went way above my pay grade to understand all of that until I sat down and really thought about that. I only got to become a son of God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Have you ever asked yourself, well, I don't know if my will agrees with God's will. Then change your will. That's all I can tell you. Well, I just wasn't raised that way. Well, you're being obstinate doesn't change anything either. You want to be hard-headed about it? God has a way of getting to your attention. You won't like it. It would be better to hear it from me than hear it from him. I mean, I'm just trying to help you out here, people. God's will is perfect. Sometimes you might think, well, it's not very palatable. Well, maybe you need to change your palate. That's the only way they ought to know. I know this, that it's not, I'm not one to tell you about what sin might be here or what it might be over here. I'm talking about the biggest issue in our lives is our will. Sin's an outside deal, okay? But usually comes to pass because of our will. We accept it. We allow this to take place. It's a perversion of what we should be in Jesus Christ. That's what sin is in our lives. But I love, this is what he said to Philippians, Paul. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. So has God been able to work it out in you? You know, I've always noticed how deathly quiet it gets around here at times. Has he? Has he worked it out in you? He's doing it. You may not recognize it, but he is working it out in you right now to do what his redemption was. It was perfect. And he wants to do that within our lives. So is it God's will or is it my will? Lord, I hope we're simultaneously got it together, everything right here. Am I who I'm supposed to be because you changed me into a new creation and I don't have to think about it, I just do what you want me to do? Or does every day I have to knock you in the ear to make you get with it? The woodshed's a great place to be. Not. Obstinacy describes so many of us. But you know what it is? You're just unintelligent. Don't listen to this, Margaret. You're a moron. You refuse to be enlightened by the very things that God says. Or you're wonderful because you obey. And within every person here, actually including me, we can be what God wants us to be because he lives within. And if he's not within you, then you got an issue. You're going to keep doing your will and you're not going to listen to him. But if God lives within you, as Jesus said he does, if the Holy Spirit reigns within our hearts as he wants to be, and he will guide you into all truth. You'll know what God's will is. And you'll say, hey, man, I missed it on that one. But you won't miss it again. Well, I really want to do. Does God really want you to? But, no, there's no buts about it. God's will is the only thing that's important. And the biggest thing is that he overcomes my will. It's called surrender. Well, that won't be any fun. I've been serving him over 50-some years now, and it's been pretty fun. I've enjoyed myself. I've had a great time. I get to go play golf, Robert. Wasn't that cool? Go team. I'm not hurt because of the privilege of getting to serve. I'm blessed because of that very thing. Father, not my will be done, but yours. So there's your question today. Is it God's will or is it your will? It can be God's will. It can be. And praise God, it's that way a lot in your life already. But he wants it to be 100% his will. But I'm scared. Well, he can get you past that too. Because he will lead you into perfect peace whose heart is stayed upon him. Let's pray.